Hi, everybody. Program note, barring holidays and some occasional family days, we now post this show every single day. Used to be weekly, but now daily. So look for us. Truth Bomb, number one, The Breakup. The highest-ranking Jewish American politician in U.S. history says the Israeli prime minister must go. Wow. Truth Bomb, number two. So should Schumer be saying that democracy is okay elsewhere, but not in Israel? Democracy can't work in Israel. He said this. Really? Truth Bomb, number three. The U.S. needs to recolonize Latin America and Africa. Who said that? I'm going to tell you. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact. All right, joining me now to run through some of these big topics that we're going to be talking about today because they are big in the news is former Pentagon official Michael Maloof. Michael, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Also, independent journalist Sam Husseini. You can read his work, by the way, at Substack.com, where he covers everything from genocide to big tech. And even more importantly, if you want to hear him, check in once in a while on some of the State Department briefings. He's the guy asking some of the tough questions to some of those dudes. Thanks for being here, Sam.
Good to be with you, Rick.
All right, Chuck Schumer, let's start there. He is arguably the highest-ranking Jewish-American, I don't know, politician, elected official in U.S. history. The whole world is still feeling the reverberations, the tremors of what he did over the weekend when he slammed Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu. Here's a part of that.
As a lifelong supporter of Israel, it has become clear to me the Netanyahu coalition no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7th.
I should tell you now that after he said that, Bibi Netanyahu came back and said it's inappropriate. He said he shouldn't have said something like that. He said it was wrong. And then he said something else that kind of struck me as a Hispanic kid growing up in the United States. He said, we're not a banana republic. It almost seemed to me like he was insinuating that you could say that about those little Latino countries that you guys have owned and run for 100 years or so, but you can't say that about us. We're not Guatemala. We're not Honduras. I don't know. When I heard that, I didn't like the sound of it. But there's something else that we should tell you. It is true, as reported by Reuters and many other outlets, that 15% of Israelis, or thereabouts, say they don't want him back as their prime minister after the Gaza attacks. So that's where we are. Sam, let me begin with you. You hear this comment from Schumer. Did it shock you?
No, it didn't shock me at all. I think that the U.S. system has been tending towards trying to make Netanyahu something of almost a fall guy for this. It's not Netanyahu that's the problem. He's a big part of the problem.
Yeah.
But it's an entire structure of the U.S. and Israeli establishments working together to build up by stages in a number of ways to this moment where Israel could be actually perpetrating this genocide. Nobody was out in the streets saying, Schumer, please tell Netanyahu to resign.
So why is
people are out in the streets saying, stop arming Israel as it's slaughtering people.
But he
won't do that.
Here's the question I have to ask you then. It seems to me that he may have been doing the president's bidding when he did this. And I'm going to explain this to you in just a little bit.
I believe he was.
Yeah, he was really being Biden.
He wasn't going out there on his own. This is part of the U.S. establishment and how it wants to wash its hands.
Is it even fair to say that he did it? Biden couldn't do it because Biden's not Jewish?
Possibly, but also possibly to trial balloon. I mean, you know, Biden doesn't want to go head-to-head with Netanyahu. But Biden's up for re-election, you know? I mean, it gets complicated in a number of ways for Biden to do it. It helps to have, a surrogate kind of do that.
Michael, were you shocked? And what did you think of the immediate comeback from Netanyahu?
Well, I too, was not surprised. And I think it really represents something intriguing, that Schumer represents the traditional Democrats in this country. The Democrats are against the way the Israelis are thinking and the way Israel is acting today, simply because the Israelis Americans believe in this equality, you know, equal rights and all that. That's absolutely anathema to the two-state solution and to the Palestinians.
Well,
and so, so consequently, here you have a Jew saying this, and it's sending this reverberations. Is it?
Well, here's the thing. Does it even make a difference that he's Jewish? Because in the end, there's something we found.
I think it's more that he's Democrat.
I wanted to go back and look at something where Bibi has been asked or has commented in the past about how he feels about when America criticizes him. So does Bibi Netanyahu, and I'm asking you, do you think Bibi Netanyahu really cares about what American political leaders say? I want you to hear something we found. This is a recording. This was recorded back in 2001. He didn't know he was being recorded, by the way. He's talking about attacking Palestinians, and he's saying that they got to hit the Palestinians hard. That's the only way those people will learn. And then he's asked in the conversation, it's fascinating, what he thinks if the United States starts saying, hey, you guys are becoming the aggressors, and the rest of the world criticize him. He talks about what he thinks of U.S. criticism. Take a listen.
לא נקל, קודם כל, לתת להם מכות, לא רק מכאן, מכות כל כך מכילות, שהמחיר יקבל נמצא, כרגע המחיר לא קבל נמצא, אבל זה התקפה הבאת היקף על הרשות הפלסטינית. זה הרי תראה פחד שהכל מתמוטט.
לא פוחדים, צוחקים מהם, יראו לנו את אוכל של צחוק
ופחד שהכל.
פשוט הם לא פוחדים לצחוק.
זה מה שמביא אותם
לתחסה. רגע, אבל אז השוק גם העולם יגיד מה, אתם
גושים?
אתה לא פחד מהעולם, ביבי.
במיוחד היום עם אמריקה, אני יודע מה זה אמריקה. אמריקה זה לא שאפשר להזיז אותו בקלות, להזיז לכיוון הנכון. אבל לא יחמיר.
"80% of Americans are with us. I can handle the Americans. I can maneuver Americans," says Bibi Netanyahu. Sam, you say what?
U.S. public opinion has been manipulated by the U.S.-Israeli establishment for decades, absolutely. They manipulated it into the Iraq War. Lots of other things, but I think the manipulations continue, and I think Schumer's statements are part of the manipulation, right? They want to pretend that they're distancing themselves from Netanyahu while continuing to provide the diplomatic cover at the UN and the weapons for Israel to continue the slaughter. So that's first off. I also think that this, his speech, the timing of it, right after the TikTok thing, which was portrayed as an anti-China national security thing, but was largely an Israel thing. It was, Trump talked about getting rid of, you know, banning TikTok years ago, and it was completely stalled. You look at the Wall Street Journal reporting right after, they report right after October 7th, this came back to life. And that's how they're really helping Israel this week. They're forcing the sale, potentially, of TikTok. And then Mnuchin, who has deep ties to Israel, to the Mossad, and so on, comes in and says, I'll buy it. So they're trying to wipe out a main platform for Gen Xers to be putting out information critical of Israel and hand the thing over to Mnuchin with his Israeli spook friends.
Do you hear what he's saying?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So here's what I think Sam is getting at here, Michael. There was a time when guys, old guys like the three of us,
right,
grew up in an America where we got all our news from Tom Brokaw and Walter Cronkite and these guys, and it was institutionalized news. Today, you could watch Rick Sanchez's program or Joe Rogan or Tucker Carlson, and you're going to hear a different story. Not to mention, kids aren't watching anybody. They're talking amongst themselves on TikTok, and what they're saying is, a lot of these things that we used to take for granted in the world are not the way we were told they were, i.e., Russia, China, whatever, Israel among those. And that's what's changing. Do you think that's what's different from when Bibi Netanyahu made that comment in 2001?
Well, I agree.
Because he's saying Americans are with us, they'll always be with us.
Well,
is that true today?
It is not true today. It is not true today to the extent that you're seeing so many people today rising up against what the Israelis are doing in terms of the genocide that's going on in Palestine.
But is it the young people? Is it
a
movement?
Yes, because because these are the Democrats that Biden wants to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
It gets back to this. He's losing that support. And that's why Netanyahu came out, I'm sorry, that Schumer came out at this time to make that statement.
Well, yeah, because he would have done it no matter what. Forget, you're always into Democrat and Republican.
But it's
there's
true.
There's no difference between how Israelis are not treated one way by Republicans and another way by Democrats. Are they? Am I getting this wrong, or is he right?
I view Democrats and Republicans, establishment Democrats and Republicans, as being part of like a digestive system.
Yeah.
They do different things for, like, you know, Trump moving the embassy to Jerusalem. No conventional president could have done that,
right?
But Trump could, okay?
Why? So,
but because, you know, he crumps off the wall and da da da, so he can get away with doing something like that. Whereas a Bush or a Clinton couldn't do a move like that. So the establishment uses different presidents to do different tasks.
Yeah, I think the establishment is not Republican and it's not Democrat.
I agree.
It's an establishment. And
I
that's
agree.
What we have in this country. Okay, we'll come back and argue that out later. Let me get to my next point. I found something odd in Schumer's speech. So last night I was coming back from Miami and I was reading it on the plane. And as I'm reading this speech, I'm thinking to myself, what is this here? Where he says, and I want you to hear him. Maybe I got it wrong. You tell me. He seems to be saying a real democracy, the thing that we're always pushing all over the world, not in Israel. We don't need to establish democracy in Israel because a democracy wouldn't work in Israel. Hear him in his own words.
It is longstanding American policy to support democracy overseas. But in this hypothetical single state, democracy could cost Israeli Jews their safety if extremists were to take control of this new state of affairs to ultimately achieve their true aim, the violent expulsion of Jews from the Holy Land. Now, this is no abstract fear. Thousands of years of Jewish history show that when things go badly, the people of the country in which Jews live, even in a democracy, all too often turn on them as convenient scapegoats. There's no guarantee this wouldn't happen again in a single Israeli-Palestinian state. To have Palestinian voters be the protector of Israeli Jews would be a bridge too far to accept.
He's actually, Michael, I'll start with you this time. He's actually right if you look at it historically.
Historically, the
entire Ashkenazi experience has been every time they're in a country and there's a problem in that country, they do get beat up. It happened in the Middle East.
Sure.
It happened in Jerusalem.
Sure.
It happened in Russia. It happened in Germany. It happened in Poland.
But you have caste systems in Europe, and you see this with gypsies. You saw it with other minorities. I mean, even in Romania, when I was there, something lower than the Romanians, for example, would be the gypsies, the Romans, as they call them.
No, but he's saying you can't have a democracy in Israel, and I'm arguing that he's arguing
that democracies have never been good to
Jews around the world, therefore...
But they lived together for 2,000 years before this, before Zionism was created, as opposed to Jewishness.
So is the real question here that he's right that Jews have not been treated fairly in democratic systems in the past? However, you can't legislate something like what he's asking us to legislate and saying Israel should be abstained from democracy. That's kind of what he's saying.
Yeah, well, he's saying that, look, I mean, you said Ashkenazi, you know, I mean, it's a European experience. Mm-hmm. The Holocaust was a European
Correct.
Endeavor. You know, if anything, Jews have often taken refuge in Muslim countries or Muslim-majority societies. So what he's trying to do there is to say that he doesn't want a single democratic state.
Because if you give democracy, you've got to give freedom to the Palestinians, and once you do that, they're going to be at each other's throats. That's what he's saying.
As opposed to now.
but you actually had the Zionists.
He's saying that they'll be at each other's throats in a way that might threaten Jews. I say, and lots of people say, no, why don't you look at South Africa, right? I mean, everybody thought there would be, a lot of people thought there would be a bloodbath if you ended apartheid. You ended apartheid, there's no bloodbath. That's the solution that people want.
Well, then there's the next question, because he said something else right after that speech. And he said something, which we've heard a million times from Bibi Netanyahu, but never from an American leader, where he said, it is a Jewish state.
Right.
Seeming to say that if you're not Jewish, you don't belong in that territory. I'm just trying to be as moderate as I can about this, and I want to be as fair as I possibly can. Is it proper to say that a particular country, a particular domain, a particular city, a particular anything, can only be of people of a certain religion? That's the question that we're going to tackle. That's a tough one. When we come back, you stay with us. All right, welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez, and we're talking to someone who you probably could find on television if you started looking for some of the briefings at the State Department. Sam Husseini is one of the reporters. He's an independent journalist, by the way, and you can also find his work at Substack. And Michael Maloof is a former Pentagon official who was there during the Iraq War and several other sordid parts of our history in this country. Let's start. Let's go to another comment that struck me from Chuck Schumer. And there was something else in his speech. The reason I'm mentioning this is obviously I've heard this articulated. We've all heard this articulated, that Israel is a Jewish state. We've heard that from Bibi Netanyahu many, many, many times. But to hear one of the leading U.S. elected officials say it struck me a little bit. And I just want you to listen to it, and I want to pick the conversation up, and I want to be as fair as possible about this. So here it is.
Second, and even more important, the Jewish people have a right to their own state. It is so troubling to me that many people, especially on the left, seem to acknowledge and even celebrate this right to statehood for every group but the Jews. If a national homeland for all peoples of the world has been the driving goal of the anti-colonial movement of the last century, then why are only Jews seemingly penalized for this aspiration? Jews have a human right to their own state, just as any other people do, Palestinians included.
Palestinian is not a religion. I am struck when I listen to him, and I want to be as fair as possible to understand his point of view. I think what he's saying is, when you're Jewish, that's kind of your nationality, not your religion. Because throughout that statement, what I hear him say is, all the other people have a right to a country. We should have a right to a country, too. But is there a place in the world where there's only you have to be a Methodist or you have to be a Baptist?
I mean,
am I confused here?
And yeah, I mean, it's probably not great to be a Christian in Saudi Arabia.
Of course.
But nobody goes around defending that, certainly not on the Senate floor. But here we are. And it's been a standard motif of U.S. policy to say Israel should be a Jewish state.
Should we push back on that?
And to demand that Palestinians recognize it as such.
But they're not Jewish.
Yeah. Right, right.
Or some of them probably
it's
are.
It's absurd. And it's actually gotten worse. Biden, the first president, I believe, starting in the summer, started saying not a Jew would be safe in the world without the state of Israel.
When in actuality...
What the hell is that?
Yeah,
this is an American president saying that Jews in the United States aren't safe because of the character of the U.S. society or the First Amendment, but because they need Israel to be safe? That's an absurd situation. That's an attack on the First Amendment, as far as I'm
concerned. Could you actually argue that Bibi Netanyahu has made the world unsafe for a lot of Jews? Much of the discrimination that I'm hearing against Jews, which is wrong, by the way, is happening because people are angry about the way that the Israeli government is acting.
Well, this is what you're going to get from a fanatical leader. And they're taking on, they've reverted back to their ancient biblical ties from the Talmudic code that they follow, that they are the chosen people. And when you listen to them today, they're talking.
When you say they, you're talking about Bibi Netanyahu's government.
Government.
And some of the leaders.
Like Ben-Gavir and Smuchich. And these are very radical, rabid.
Are they really? Do you guys think those guys are really? Hold on. Let me make this point, because I think this is an interesting question. Are those people who are saying those things, quoting the Bible and saying the Bible gives us a right to...
Well, the Crusaders used to go after. Do it.
But hold on. When he says that, are they saying that because they're biblical, godly men, or because they're using that as their way of getting a lot of the population of Israel to go along with them?
This is how they've galvanized the Zionists and in Israel, opposed to Jews.
You're saying they're being Machiavellian in the way that they're using.
Yeah, very much.
Do you agree?
Probably.
Yeah.
So
in other words, Bibi is not a guy who's on his knees every day praying.
Right. Yeah, you have a lot of very devout Jews who are anti-Zionists, And they're getting beat up by the Zionist thugs in Jerusalem.
So this gets so confusing, doesn't it? No, it doesn't.
Being Jewish is fine. It's being Zionist where you're in effect a proxy for a colonial project. It's kind of the opposite of what Schumer was saying. It's not an anti-colonial project. It's a colonial project.
Final word on this, Michael.
You got to distinguish between the Jews and the Zionist movement. These are Zionists who are talking this way. That they want to reclaim all of that territory. They want to go into Lebanon and take over the West Bank and clear out and have settlers settle in. They even want settlers into the Gaza Strip.
But
today.
I do believe when Bibi speaks, and I've heard him speak many times, that he believes that there's something about Jewishness that makes you beyond just a religion. It's more something akin to a statehood. That, whether we like it or not, is what he believes and has espoused consistently. Let's go on to the next topic. NBC headline says Mr. Biden, and this is an older story, but it's getting a lot of media now. Biden is angry. He's anxious. He's even cursing. Let me read you essentially what they're saying. In a private meeting, this is a report from NBC no less, allies of the president had just told him that his poll numbers in Michigan and Georgia had dropped over his handling of the war between Israel and Hamas. Both are battleground states. He narrowly won 4 years ago, so he's mad because he's losing in Georgia and Michigan. Biden then began to shout, and he began to swear. A lawmaker familiar with the meeting said. What do you make of that, Sam?
The Democratic base and the American public are, as they're learning more and more disgusted with Biden's policy of enabling Israel's genocide to continue. And people are waking up, and that's a threat to the Democratic establishment. What's interesting about Biden to me is that he's played this role before. He enabled Bush's invasion of Iraq,
yep,
and then tried to wash his hands of it. He gave him the car keys. He presided over the hearings. He kneecapped Scott Ritter. He did all of these things to enable the invasion of Iraq to happen. And then, you know, he's like, oh, gosh. What was Bush thinking? He was really out of control there, as if he was an innocent party. And then he lied about it for years and years. I ran through it all during the 2020 election. He got away with it. People still voted for him. And now he's trying to do it again, even worse.
I got one for you, Michael, and I want you to listen to this. This is Eric Prince. Eric Prince, infamous military contractor, founded Blackwater, as we all know. Accused, by the way, the organization was, of murdering 14 Iraqi civilians back in 2017. And he, not too long ago, said this on his podcast.
And if so many of these countries around the world are incapable of governing themselves, then it's time for us to put the imperial hat back on to say, we're going to govern those countries if you're incapable of governing yourselves, because enough is enough. We're done being invaded.
By the way, I said 2014. I am stand corrected. That was 2007 when that happened. For the record, Michael, to you, we need to start taking over a lot of these countries out there, especially these countries who are coming over here and invading us. And by the way, we got to do it in Latin America. I got a story for him. It happens to be that I'm from Latin America. You've already done that in Latin America.
he's reemphasizing the point of the imperialism, the Monroe Doctrine, but let's extend it also to Africa and everywhere else to shoot the American version of democracy into people's heads. I saw this when we went into Iraq, and we were totally wrong then, and we lost trillions, and we had nothing to show for it.
What makes a guy like that tick? Why would he say something like that?
Because it's
the
neoconservative concept, whether you're Republican or Democrat. That's why it was glorious to see Victoria Nuland take a hike. Because Ukraine has been her policy.
30 seconds. I've just never heard somebody with the guts or the intestinal fortitude to articulate something like this. Sam, 30 seconds. You get the last 30.
I think that is why Israel is so important, because Israel, in the guise of standing up for the Jews, was able to keep the colonial project going. And what Eric Prince is saying, we need to expand it. We need to expand it again into Latin America, into Africa, into Asia. Part of the reason why the struggle for Israel and the struggle to stop Israel from doing what it's doing at genocide and ethnic cleansing is so important. It's not just about the Palestinians, because then everybody else is potentially on the chopping block.
That's a funny way to come to a conclusion of a show with words like those. Thank you both. excellent conversation. Before we go, I do want to remind you of our mission here. It's pretty simple. What we kind of want to do is de-silo the world. You've got to stop living in these little boxes where you only think like your neighbors or someone else. Truths don't live in boxes. I'm Rick Sanchez. I'll be looking for you again right here, where we provide a direct impact.